Burning the midnight oil at both ends or something. So I don't have anything in particular, so let's just do updates and see where we are.
Okay.
Do we expect Beth to join us today?
I don't believe that Beth will be joining us because she had asked for Good Friday as a vacation day. So if she pops in, that would be an unexpected surprise.
That'd be a bonus. Okay, I asked because the update that I have is I want to confirm with Beth, but for my class, you know, have planned to have an event where they make presentations in some form about the work they're doing, including what can contribute to the website. And so I wanted to confirm with Beth, but the date, the time we have scheduled is April 21st, 7 p.m. So that's the last day of classes. But so as soon as I can with Beth, I'll like to confirm that and then advertise it.
Okay.
But also,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But also want to see to what extent this body would like to be involved or at least be aware of for the event.
Put it on my calendar.
I say if you pencil it in, it's a very good pencil, Stephen, because Beth has talked about participating.
Right. So Beth and I together came up with the day and time. I want to confirm with her that is the correct one we identified. I'm pretty sure it is, but I need to confirm that with her.
Okay.
I see.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. But then once I do, I have to go ahead and kind of advertise it or put on the schedule and so forth.
Okay.
I do have an update.
Go ahead, Ariel.
So for the events, Helen and I worked together earlier this week to talk about how to be able to embed videos onto the website without slowing it down. And we were able to do that through the Michigan website that we got from Jessica. So the event with Frida is now available on the 50th website under the events page. So if anyone wants to share it, you can share it there. And then as we get more events, we'll be able to upload it to that website and embed it.
That's great news.
Yes, that's big. Thank you, Ariel.
I'm trying to share my screen. I hope you all can see it. This week, I've been reaching around the campus, looking at who can help us determine a long-term storage solution. And these were some of the options that were available to us. Amy Peters, who heads up the research component, I tapped into her to utilize the expertise over there. So we've even got some feedback from the library. So what you're looking at here is some of the storage options that we have. Now, when you look at this, you don't see a whole lot of memory, and that's what I'm engaging people with. So I'll be looking to engage Ariel and Helen in this effort, because if you ask me, I know just enough to be dangerous. I think I know what I want in terms of size components. So I'm asking somewhere between 25 and 50 terabytes so that we have room to grow into as we move forward. And when you look at the matrix that's up on the screen, it seems like I can get 1 terabyte chunks, but I'm going to ask for what I believe the project needs in order to continue to process the information we have and yet leave room for growth. So I hope to have an update subsequent to hashing this out in the upcoming week. And the library does have a Tuesday 3:30 meeting that I'm considering plugging into, but I need to know the schedule, if Helen and Ariel are available, if I can get on their schedule. So more to follow on that, but 25 to 50 terabytes is what I'm trying to get a hold of so that we can park the information to a place where it's available for everyone and not have to worry about it being moved or deleted without notice. So that's the update for me.
Thank you. Is there any additional contributions on that topic specifically at this point? Or are we?
I almost forgot. With Ariel's assistance, we were able to get a hold of Nisha and look at the material that's out in the study abroad area. So Nisha may have already started putting dates and locations as the file names for some of that information that's out there. And I believe some of it may have been helpful to her as well. And she may have been snagging snapshots to use in her forthcoming manuscript. Yeah, that's all I had now. That was, oh, by the way, if you would.
That's great. Thanks, Wayne. I also added in the folder that you created called Study Abroad, I created a folder for Deborah Robinson storing some of her materials. So maybe we can use that Study Abroad folder as a general kind of material for the Study Abroad project. So if it's okay, maybe I could create a folder for Nisha specifically and move those videos in there. You're muted. Yeah.
I don't think it's a problem. We just need to make sure that the link is updated for Nisha, right, and that she has access to it.
Got it.
Ariel, yeah, may have some thoughts on that, though, because like I said, I know just enough to be dangerous.
So Nisha is currently shared on a folder that has her name on it currently. If you move it, it should keep her on it, but if you have any issues, please let me know. And the title can be changed as long as whoever needs to contribute is shared on that folder alone, in case there is any sensitive material in our drive that we don't want other people to see as of at the moment.
Okay, I see. Yeah. I see. So maybe, yeah, because I've been like working on interview questions for the interview with Deborah and stuff. So maybe I should make a separate general Study Abroad folder then. And this one can be the one where Nisha adds information.
Yeah, because what we could do is have a main folder for all the study abroads, and then each specific study abroad or person related to study abroad can have their own folder, and then they can be shared on that specific folder to be able to contribute materials, edit, great, like that.
That makes sense. Okay, cool.
If you have any issues with setting up those folders or the tiered list, let me know, and I'm happy to meet up individually.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and related to that, sorry, go ahead, Wayne.
As you lay out everything, please know that there are a couple more digital media files that I have that will need to, that I will be looking for opportunities to get transferred into digital format. And I have at least 7 to 10 more of those that I need to do. So you will have a lot to draw from as I, you know, more people get their shots, I can get the material in the hands of people that can do the work for us.
Right. Okay, great. So Dolapo, to follow up on the Deborah Robinson thing, just to confirm that Dolapo and I are going to be interviewing her next Friday, just before our usual DAS meeting.
Yep. I also have a quick question. All right. So Hashley and I are supposed to collaborate on the transcription, but she said she doesn't have access to the folder. I don't know if that could be fixed.
Who?
Ashley.
Okay. She said, but I will double check and send the link in the chat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem.
So on this, just one thought. For those of you working on the various study abroad issues, which is not related to the history, but is related to the present, we have started having conversations, Benedict and I, we did with Nisha a little bit about rethinking study abroad for the department, partly, well, in response in large part to the fact that the universities or the colleges' policies on study abroad have somewhat changed over the over recent years. So if you were to see or think about some specific to DAS criteria about what a study abroad program ought to be able to encompass, that would be really actually really helpful to have the history inform the present conversation. So whether it's through the interviews, looking at Nisha, the interview with Nisha in the past, some of the materials you're collecting, you know, at some point, maybe sort of early May or something, we might revisit this question and you know, try to, it would just be helpful to have the input.
Sure, I'll keep that in mind.
So I have a quick, one update. We had a very good conversation, Beth and Helen and Ariel and I, about some of the materials from the that we have photographs of from the basement, the various material object collections and photo collections, as you know, we're engaged with Comfort on some proposals for that. But so that will, we're all excited about working with Comfort on that and getting that information out. So that's the one update on that. But also on issues of visual culture, Beth met with, and I have a report from this, with Kirsten Brandt, who is the head of the Museum Studies program. And we're about to post, they're willing to fund, and we're going to post a position for a grad student to work this summer on a retrospective of the DAS gallery over time as a possible thing for the website. What's unresolved in that process is, because I've also been engaged with conversations with Ray Silverman about the particular period of his work on the DAS gallery, and he's interested in doing something for the website as well. Whether that will end up being one thing or two things, I don't know, but I don't think it's, it really comes down to how Ray wants to position his involvement, whether he wants to collaborate with an intern from Museum Studies or whether he'd rather do his own thing. And to my mind, both are good. So we'll see. Now, the other piece of it, just as a heads up, is in theory, either, but most likely the Museum Studies piece could include an actual exhibit in the DAS gallery once we open back up. And so we're going to continue those conversations. But it seems obviously very appropriate to the 50th anniversary to actually have some kind of retrospective exhibit on the whole history of DAS gallery, including potentially earlier than the DAS gallery, issues of exhibition of visual culture within the department, right? That goes back through our entire history. So all of that is churning and still not specifically clear, but we have... We went from having nothing going on to having a lot going on in a very short period of time around those issues. So that's very exciting. So I'll hopefully have more on that. I'll have more on the Museum Studies piece of it next week. It'll take a little bit longer. Ray and I are supposed to talk in, I think, 2 weeks. So down the road, we'll have more on both those things. Go ahead, Tara. Oh, that was just a thumbs up. Okay.
Do we want to discuss the curation of the art section as we build it out?
By art section, you mean the pieces separate from the issues raised for Comfort?
Yeah, in our meeting, we had discussed, because all of the collections went up by Jessica, which is why I was lacking information. So doing something that is more curated to make sure all the objects are appropriate, but we still have a landing page for our collections while we work on the database side of things.
Well, so that's an interesting, I'm interested to hear people's thoughts, because in some ways, I think, again, the long-term answer to that question has to do with these two other, with these desk gallery retrospectives. So this is really a medium-term question, right? Should particularly the contemporary artwork in our possession that Helen has done such a great job of documenting and digitizing, should that be visible on our website with minimal curation, because we don't have the time or the expertise, while we work on the long-term solution? So I'm interested in people's perspectives on that. I think that's a great question to ask. Don't jump, all jump at once.
I'm just looking at that page again. I posted it in the chat as well.
How about in the course of so then the next step there is that longer is just part of the longer term curation, right? That's where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, some of these things are still, I mean, I can't say for sure that everything in the collection will be part of these curations. I mean, that's the point. And so there is a kind of, I mean, there's an archival imperative, if you were, I mean, to make visible what we have to people, even if it's not been curated, right? I mean, that's the, do people have access to this material?
Right.
There's not a curation of it that's very developed.
So my thought, but I'm questioning it, but my thought was, as in the preliminary steps, if there are a few pieces that stand out as having a combination of a few pieces that have some visual or other, you know, historic clear value, do not seem to be burdened with a need for much contextual or curatorial, you know, presence. Then if there are a few that meet that, then put them there just with a line or something like a sampling. This would not be the best language, but something to indicate this is a sampling of the larger work.
The Curtis collection could be that, because we had that's the most complete, and it is something that we have in our physical space. So we could do that and show that we have this unique set of artwork, but that's very curated and public facing.
I think that's a good idea, just looking through these, because some of them, to Matthew's point as well about having an archive that people can look at. I wonder if it would be possible, instead of having the images kind of displayed the way that Jessica did it, where it would just source, I assume it would just source per label. So I'm guessing it's sourcing everything with the label artwork. I don't know if that's right, Helen. And
she had no conversation, so I have no idea what she did. And that was kind of the issue. I did go in, and some of the photos were actually faculty artwork. So Jessica had no knowledge, because I did have to go through and ask Wayne. We have some faculty that collect their own artwork, so finding out what is DAS and what is not was a challenge. So that whole page, I did not know how to fix it, essentially. Left it as is. But I agree, because even in some of the cassettes, I wouldn't have put the cassettes out because they're just not visually impactful. You have to kind of find the little gems within it. There aren't any artworks or anything to go with it. So that was just a problem from the rush that we had. And I did attempt to go put text in, but I broke the page. So it was one of those things that I think I would rather scrap it and start to build it on my own so that we know exactly what we're doing.
Right, because I could see kind of down the line having a list of folders, like an online archive where people could click through and they could look at work by DAS faculty, for example, could be another one, could be one of the categories. Another could be certain collections, certain people's collections, like the Curtis collection. That one does seem to be the one that, as you say, is has already been curated. I see there's like included amongst these images is the DAS Curtis collection description and the biography of Curtis and et cetera. So as for the others, it's also like, it's like a mix of different pieces of art and other things that might be considered art in certain contexts, might be considered to have other meanings in other contexts, as is the case with Uma, for example. So, yeah, I think I tend to agree with you, Helen.
Yeah, Tara, you hit what I was thinking of, and that is that some of it we see it as art. Some of it might be considered objects or implements in addition. So categories such as that, perhaps within that, we may want to do a little bit of parsing to better identify, and that may also help us with the generation of context as well.
So I here's what I think. I think that the priority should not be speed, it should be proper contextualization. And so that if we're close to being able to do that, or maybe at the point where we can do that effectively with the Curtis collection, then let's start there. And let's, you know, I think what we need is create a explanatory framework that people see when they click on it that's satisfactory. And so maybe what I would suggest is if Helen, if you're willing to take on for that particular one, the lead on putting together a draft sort of framing language that people would see when they click on it, that we can, once we have approved that, we can go with that.
I'll check it with Beth too, because she did his most recent exhibit. So I feel like she will probably have some of that as well.
Perfect. Perfect. And what I would say about the rest of it is the goal should be to get it as much of it as we deem appropriate up as we can, but that the priority has to be a proper explanatory framework that not only addresses its provenance, how, you know, this word that I've stolen from Comfort because it's so helpful. You know, it tells us where it came from, how we came to own it, why we own it, all of that, but also what it is, right? So that you do, because that's my concern, is that someone could say, okay, fine, they know this is the Curtis collection, but what the hell is this thing at the bottom of the page, right? So there's just all of the pieces of it. I'm sorry?
I know Ray worked on those images. Is he at a point where I could maybe tap on him for some of the explanation?
If you know what, if you have specific questions that you think he can answer with, why don't you let me know what those are? And then we'll go from there. I suspect, okay. Yes. I mean, I think he's very enthusiastic to help with the website. You know, the sense of you know, reticence on his part has more to do with the gallery itself, okay, exhibits, than it has to do with the website. So I think there's probably no problem asking for his help. Before he and I have had a longer conversation, though, I would at least like to know what's going to him before we do that, I'm supposed to talk to him on the 12th. So that's only 10 days. So it's not a huge amount of time. But.
Of course. I just know he helped with the reproductions that we currently have. So I felt like he might know some of the.
Yeah. No, again, I think if there are specific questions for him.
That would be the only one, is the process of the reproduction. Cause I don't have that knowledge, but I have the bio and a lot of the other pieces.
I see. Well, yeah. When you're ready to ask him that question, just run it by me first and then we'll go with it. You know,
from the sorry, Matthew.
Again, just to emphasize that I think we're, you know, on the one hand, the goal has to be to get everything up in front of people, but we want to do it in a way that's clear, that where people understand what they're looking at. So go ahead, Tara.
Yeah, just another one that I was thinking could already go up is there's that artwork of the kind of CAS building and with a little description of that. And I know, I think maybe you guys have used some of that in some of the other like header images and stuff, but I mean, that's a cool one and it's emblematic of how CAS began and it's pretty straightforward.
Great. And that would be actually great to link to, once that was up, then it could be a link to the podcast that Dolapo did, right? Because that talks about that period. So.
Yeah, I was just looking through. It's also a cool image for the documentary that we could, put in. So, yeah.
Are you talking about the painting of the house? Which one?
Yeah, the painting of the house.
You know, the other thing I'm looking at here is the collection of record albums, which is another place where, I mean, it's fine to just leave it as is for now, but at some point you'd want to have an explanation of what is this and why is it here? And, you know, it's simply to let people know, look, there's these things here that you might, if you have some use for research from a research or a teaching perspective, you can find, you know, we have access to this material. And that's a perfectly reasonable reason to have it posted and visible. You know, even if we don't have a clear explanation for why we have that mix of record albums in our basement. So.
It seems like a lot of records, but we really returned the lion's share back to the donors. Dr. Standifer and the Reed collections both went to Dr. Standifer when Maxwell Reed said, I turned my stuff over to you, Jim. So that was about a truckload of stuff left. So we would have had even more.
Were those records, would they form part of the story of the DAS mixtape that Tahir and I think Stephen, were you? You had some involvement with that as well?
Some
secondary, records, that's what it's here.
Some records may have been duplicates because some of the collection that is there now were donations from Julius as well.
I mean, this is a lot of jazz, which is a little bit different than what Tahir was talking about.
There's a million mixtapes. Because
there was all genres of music that had been captured between the Reed collection and the Standifer collection. that was a call from Nisha, so I'll have to talk with her after this meeting. She's probably looking for, I'll give her a heads up, Tara, about where we intend to relocate, but she should still have access.
Okay, cool.
Any other updates for us today? Okay, well, seems like we're all set to move forward on various things, so. Thank you. Helen and Wayne, can you hang on for a second?
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.